Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. It has been a very long week for me, but we are here. We are ready to do this. It was my first time at the SAG-AFTRA convention as a elected delegate, which was really cool and really eye-opening. I did not know so much of, the processes that our union goes through and the ways in which it conducts voting and ideas and all that kind of fun stuff. But as a person who is currently back in college studying political science, it was definitely very interesting for me. I felt like it was a whole weekend of just learning and, being in something that's larger than just me complaining on Twitter. But it was really great. And I have this fantastic community of people that really supported me through, the election itself. And now I'm co-chair on a LA local committee. So everyone's been so supportive and it's been so fantastic to see this side of our business and see the guts and the glory of it all. Today on the show, we have Emma Maloof. If you've been watching Impeachment, American Crime Story, well, you've seen her. She plays Sarah Paulson's daughter in the show, and it was just such a great joy to talk to her. She's just fabulous, and she lights up the room. So here is my conversation with Emma. And welcome to the show, Miss Emma Maloof.
Thank you so much for having me, Jillian.
How are you on this fine day?
I'm doing great. I brought out my sweater. It's finally like under 75 degrees in Los Angeles. So I'm very excited about that. I went to a coffee shop this morning, got a chai.
Wow.
It was delicious.
Yeah,
I'm fully in the fall mood right now.
I feel that. Yeah, I busted out my sweaters today too, and I was like, this is the day. I woke up, it's 50 degrees outside. Fantastic. Here we go.
I love it. It's so great.
So are you a fall person? Do you come from an area of the states where there is fall?
Yes. So, well, okay. I was originally born in Seattle, Washington. So you have the full four seasons over there, and fall there especially is just absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. But when I was 10, my family and I, we moved to Austin, Texas.
Oh, wow.
And there, I mean, the weather's completely different. It's mostly humid.
Mm-hmm.
And relatively hot, especially in the summer, but it definitely around this time of year, it starts to cool down and then you're just in this perfect like 70s, low 70s, love maybe that. High 60s. It's gorgeous there in the fall, but it's mostly all cedar trees, so you don't get any color change, which is interesting.
Oh, sad.
I know. But here in LA, I mean, we get a little bit of color change, right? You're in LA too. Are you in LA?
Yeah, I'm in LA as well. Yeah. I mean, it's like a little bit, right? Like you get that like week in like the end of November where it's like, we got to change really quick. And then it's just gone and that's
almost
it.
Almost there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I love it.
Well, you know, speaking of growing up in Texas, take me back to the moment when you knew that you needed to be an entertainer. How old were you? What was that for you?
So my whole life, I have lived in a daydream. I mean, ever since I can remember, I would retreat into my imagination and just transport myself into magical worlds and play characters and film, you know, videos with my friends, make little films on my mom's iPad with iMovie. So I've always loved film and always had a passion for acting. But when I was going way back, when I was 3, my grandparents took me to go see Pacific Northwest Ballet's production of The Nutcracker. And I saw Clara, the young ballerina who played Clara, and I was just so awestricken. And, you know, there's the orchestra playing, and it's this magical story of a young girl who gets a nutcracker who then turns into a prince. And and I was just like, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. I want to transport an audience into a magical world through dance. So I started my journey as an actress as a dancer. And when we moved to Austin, I danced with Ballet Austin, incredible staff, faculty, made amazing friendships, got to perform in the Nutcracker. And so really, since I was 3, my goal was to be Clara in the Nutcracker. And with Ballet Austin, you know, when I moved there, I was 10. So for a few years, I was some of the younger roles that they had in the Nutcracker. I was a bonbon and I was a part of the tea little group. And then 1 year I was cast as a party girl. And the party girls are there during the party scene of the Nutcracker when Uncle Drosselmeyer comes in and brings the gifts, and it's the whole Christmas party scene. And so I designated myself as Claire's best friend, and I just made sure I was near her at all costs because I wanted the audience to see me and wanted to be able to just perform to my best ability. And so I was a party girl for 2 years, loved every second of it. Honestly, it just was so much fun. And I got to perform in live. We did Alice in Wonderland. There it is. Oh, Alice in Wonderland. And that was really, really, really fun. I was a card in the Queen's court and the key. So you know how in the film, in the story, there's like the key, she uses the key to open the door. So I played the key and I was in this head to toe, like spandex type white outfit that covered my head. And it was this giant like key. It was great. And then I one day got a call from a friend and she was like, "Hey, so it was one of my mom's friends. I went to high school with this lady and she's now a manager in Los Angeles. And she found you on Instagram through my social media." This is her talking.
Right.
And she said, she's like, "I don't rep kids, but I would love to get to know her. Could you make the introduction for me?"
Wow.
So our mutual friend, we got connected. I was 14 at the time. And we had a FaceTime call. And she's like, "You know, why don't you just come out to LA and see?" Because in my heart, I knew that I eventually wanted to pursue acting.
Yeah.
And I was in this tricky spot where either I would have to go full-time dance because, you know, it was the time where you usually leave your home and go dance with a company.
Yeah.
Or I was going to pursue acting. So we were like, okay, we'll give it 2 months. We'll go for pilot season. So I came out to LA. I was 14. I turned 15 a month after we arrived. And I came out here with my grandparents, my Mimi and Poppy. And aww, we lived in an Airbnb in Marina Del Rey.
So cute.
For 2 months for pilot season. And we were there and we had the best time. I went on a bunch of auditions. And the time, our 2 months came up for our Airbnb. And we all just felt this sense of like, this is it. Like, yeah. I'm not supposed to leave. This is what I think I was meant to do. Mm. And so it was the hardest decision of my life, but I quit dance.
Wow.
And I gave up. I had to give up my dream of being Clara in the Nutcracker.
Oh no, and, you never got to be her.
Yeah, I never got to be her. But it's okay, because honestly, at the end of the day, I know that like this is going to be worth it. You know what I mean? So it definitely, because I don't like to give up on my goals. And especially when that was something that I've been working towards my whole life, that was just, it took a lot of time to process that and let go of that dream and be like, okay, I feel like this is where the Lord has called me and I'm going to step into it, you know, full steam ahead. And I never left. And we're here in LA pursuing this, and just one thing led to another, and you know, audition after audition, and here we are, which is just crazy.
That's amazing. And that's how most people come to LA, and I feel like that is almost ending at a certain point, mm-hmm. probably soon, because mm-hmm. now you have all the streaming sites where it's like,
right.
they don't follow pilot season. They don't care that it's February.
Like, yeah, exactly.
They don't care. Totally. So I feel like it's like a whole new world that's happening in auditions. Yeah. I mean, obviously since the pandemic hit, we've experienced a whole new world with auditioning, but timing now, it's like there is no specific time to be in LA anymore. You just got to commit to being here full time.
You got to just go for it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's no like, here's 3 months, I'm going to give it 3 months, and I'm going to leave. Now it's like nonstop.
Yeah, and that's been interesting. So I just turned 18. Well, I turned 18 back in March. and I moved out, and my grandparents moved to Austin to be with my mom and dad and my brother and my family out there. And I moved in with roommates. Because it just, you know, I'm so thankful for my grandparents and they sacrificed so much for me. But it was kind of this, we all felt it like, okay, it's the next step, you know, towards me growing up and taking charge of my career and my life. And I moved into my new apartment a week before I had to fly to Texas to film another show. Oh, and and I just got back a week ago, so I've officially been like on my own trying to figure out life for like 2 weeks.
Hey, and that's great.
Yeah, it's going great, but just kind of back to what you said, like now I'm really starting to learn how to make Los Angeles my home and make it my stomping ground and a place where, you know, I make life happen. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
No, it does. And it always feels LA is a bit more daunting to me than New York, because New York, at least, you know,
totally.
Everything's connected. Everything's intertwined.
Yes.
You can go on a walk. You can get what you need. Here it's like, no, you have to have a car. It's going to take you 45 minutes to get to the grocery store.
45 minutes to get anywhere.
Yeah. So it's definitely feel like a little more – I mean, they're completely different beasts, but LA is so difficult to understand on your own when we don't have like regular infrastructure systems that we need to be able to
build
life.
Community too.
Build community. There's not a real sense of community in LA, and you really have to create that for yourself through classes and all the things that you can do personally. So tell me, you know, you got out here when you were 15. What did you do for school? Because I was homeschooled as a kid when I was an actor.
Yeah. Yeah. I did online school.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I did. I was still with a school that I was with back in Austin.
Okay.
So I just finished up there and for the year that I came out here. And then I switched over to a online charter school here mm-hmm. in California. And then I took the CHESP,
which
is the California High School Proficiency Exam.
Yes.
Yep. I took that. And so, okay, I don't do well under pressured time.
Okay.
If I'm allowed to like take as much sweet time as I need to, I'll do great. But
yeah.
when it's like pressured time, especially with the CHESP, you know, math is not my strong suit. And so
oh,
I studied really
math?
Hard. No. So here's the crazy thing is
I failed math the first time.
Guide.
So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I had to retake it because
yes.
the first I bought the most reviewed like CHESP study guide book.
Yeah.
And we were going into super hard calculus problems
yeah.
in that study guide book. And then I went to go take the CHESP and it was so basic that it completely threw me off. And I like froze on
yeah.
just the most easy questions about integers. And I was like, I don't know. I was practicing calculus. Like I, and so I froze and I didn't finish the math portion in time.
Mm.
I passed the English, but I didn't finish the math. And I was so bummed because if I probably would have spent like the last 5 minutes just filling in random bubbles,
yeah.
I was so close to being done that I probably would have passed. So I had to go back and I had to take the math portion and I got a tutor and it was,
yep.
it was great. So
that's
we're
literally
here. We passed, we did it.
I mean, I was very much the same. I took it
yeah.
past the English with flying colors. I feel like people
yeah.
who are in the arts are just better at English than they
right.
are math. Like,
yeah,
let's,
totally.
Let's be real.
Yeah, I know, it's true.
But I failed the math part by like 2 points. And I was like, you've got to be kidding
that
me.
It was the worst feeling.
And then I made my friend who was very good at math tutor me for mm-hmm. like a month beforehand
yeah.
and I was
that's,
like I am not leaving until I know everything
yeah.
and I couldn't tell you anything anymore could not tell
exactly.
you the first thing about math
no yeah no, oh me too and that was exactly what I did my one of my best friends here she's a whiz at math and
yeah.
I was like you're just gonna help me thank you so much because I can't do this without you and we sat down every day for like 4 hours and just
yeah
just that's knocked it out yeah.
So, you know, talking about school a little bit, are you considering college or are you going to – do you think you want to do it, like, on the side or stop
yeah.
acting? I know a lot of the kids that I've directed and been around recently, some
mm-hmm. –
it's like a clear line. Like, some people either just
mm-hmm.
say, I'm putting acting on pause for 4 years. I'm going to go do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or some
mm-hmm.
try to juggle.
Yeah. Well, I took a gap year because
mm-hmm.
I took the CHESP and, you know, which allowed me to graduate a year early.
Right.
And then the pandemic happened.
Yeah.
So essentially I just took a year. I went back home to Austin and
aww.
Lived with my parents again and my brother and kind of just got to experience a little bit of normal life.
Yeah.
Without school and that was really nice. But then quite honestly, towards the end, I got super bored and I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
I need structure because I definitely thrive and do a lot better with structure
mm-hmm.
And like having a set schedule every day. And so I enrolled with ACC, which is Austin Community College. And I was
nice.
Like, well, I think I'll just start taking a couple courses and maybe I then can transfer to
yeah.
a school out here in California or, you know, I live right over by UCLA. So I'm like, maybe I'll go to UCLA. You never know.
Right.
But I definitely, yeah, I've been taking classes with Austin Community College and I've really been enjoying it. I unfortunately couldn't enroll in any classes this semester because
yeah.
I was out in Texas filming a project and there was no service. Anywhere.
Mm.
I was out in the country. Like it just, you know, and it just, there were night shoots. So it just,
yeah.
it kind of got a little bit complicated and I knew I just didn't have peace about moving forward with school, you know? for the semester. So next semester I'll be starting it up again, hopefully. But
yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to juggle that. I tried to juggle it when I was your age, and I was like, oh, this is not feasible. I can't do this right now. I'm actually back in college right now. That's a full-on adult. Awesome. But
yeah, that's amazing.
It's difficult to find something that works with your schedule, because a lot of people, you know, don't understand how absolutely tiring the film and television industry is. You're on set for 12 hours a day. It's nonstop. And then as an actor, I mean, obviously the crew members have a lot that they deal with. And then as actors, it's like, there's times that you're sitting around not doing anything for a couple of hours, but then you have to go and act, and maybe it's a really emotionally tolling scene, and you get home and you're just like, okay, I've spent 12 hours on set. I'm exhausted. You can't focus on school and everything else you need to do.
Yeah.
So it's difficult.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
And that's why you see a bunch of actors who take that four-year gap to just accomplish it. And my hat really goes off to them and those who do both, because it's really hard.
It's really hard.
It's really hard. It's really difficult. Yeah.
Well, getting to the big show that's on right now, Impeachment, American Crime Story. Tell me everything. Tell me how the audition process was, what it was like on set working with Sarah. Tell me everything.
It was a whole journey, that audition process. So I auditioned for the role back in February 2020. And I had the first audition, went in, went great. A week later, I had a callback, a producer session. And so I got to go to the Fox lot and up into their offices. And I walked in and there was just a whole wall of Emmys. And I was like, I have entered into a different, this is a whole other realm that I've entered into. I'm like, this is crazy. This is so cool. And, and it's also just, I love film and I love everything to do with it. And so getting to go on a lot is just, there's something so magical about it every time. Yeah. And so I was super excited about it. And that was my first time on the Fox lot too. So it just, the whole combination of it was just super exciting. And I sat down in the waiting room and I was sitting right across from Colin Hanks, who plays Mike Emick. And I was like, wait, he looks so familiar. And I had to go like look it up because I was like, I know him. I feel like I know him. And sure enough, it was awesome. And so the producer session, it went great. Felt like I made a great connection with them. And then they called me, casting called me, and they said, okay, well, I guess emailed, but you're on hold for the project. So please make sure that you're in Los Angeles. Production should be starting end of the month. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. So I was here for a week, just felt like a sitting duck. I was so just nervous and excited and anxious about, oh my gosh, like, will I get it? And then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, COVID came and the industry pretty much virtually shut down. Mm-hmm. And so I waited until April. And I had some conversations with my manager and my parents, and we all just kind of agreed, okay, if things are going to pick back up, they're not going to be in person. So it'll either be on Zoom or via self-tape. So I ended up going back. And also we just weren't sure with travel restrictions. Mm. And so we made the decision, and my mom came and picked me up and drove me back to Texas. And I was there for about 8 months. Wow. And in October, okay, so then fast forward, hadn't heard anything.
Yeah.
Was with my family, had time with my family that I hadn't had in the last 2 years. And so that was really special and beautiful and so memorable. And my parents are pastors, actually. Aww. That's why we moved to Austin, was to start a church. And so over the course of the pandemic, we joined with another church. We had been there for 7 years and we were Expression Church. And there was this other church in the city, Reach Church. And my dad and the pastor at Reach were great friends. And we're like, you know what? This is a time to innovate and to, really think outside of the box and ask the Lord, like, what can we do in this time? And they were just like, you know what? We're better together. Let's do this. So Reach closed their doors, Expression Church closed their doors, and we came together as City Reach Church. Wow. And so it all happened over the course of the time that I was home. So all over again, I got to be a part of seeing, you know, our church built again from the ground up, because it happened when we moved out there 8 years ago, and then it happened again while I was home. And so my roots just were really connected back home again. Mm-hmm. And then in October, I got a call from casting, and they were like, hey, so remember this project, American Crime Story? Do you mind sending in a couple tapes? And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Great. Sure. So sent in a couple tapes, had a Zoom audition. And then maybe a week went by and I got a call from my manager, and she was like, so they want to put you on hold again for the project, and they're asking that you be in LA. Oof. And so in a span of 6 hours, I packed a bag. My phone stopped working. So I went to the AT&T store, had to get a new phone, hopped on a flight, was back in LA, all in 6 hours. And it was probably the most difficult 3 weeks of my life, because I had been so plugged back at home with my community, my friends, my family. And it really made me question, am I doing, like, is this right, what I'm doing? I don't even know if this is fun anymore. Like, it was great, I love it, but like, do I want to sacrifice being with my family again? And you know, just really asking myself and God the hard questions of like, are you sure, is this really it,
right?
And you know, and then I remember one night I cried myself to sleep very dramatically. Aww. And I just was like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And I woke up and I was like, okay, today's a new day. Like, this is going to be great. And my dad called me crying and he was like, I just miss you so much. And I was like, this is not helping. This isn't helping, Dad. I love you. I miss you. And I just remember I asked the Lord, I was like, okay, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And, you know, faith is a big part of my life. And, Jesus is my best friend. And I talked to him about everything, just like he was, you know, right there. And I was like, I don't know. And 10 minutes later, I said, okay, I trust you, you know, whatever you want to do, I'll do it. And 10 minutes later, I got the call from my manager. Wow. And I booked it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I mean, and yet again, just cried all over again. And it was amazing. And I just was so renewed and refreshed and was like, okay, nope. This is what I'm supposed to do. I am supposed to be here, and I love acting and I don't want to give it up. And so, yeah.
Wow.
And then filming started in January. And so I booked it in November. So it was from February.
That's such a long process.
All the way to November. So it was just a roller coaster, really.
I mean, that's so long to wait. I know the pandemic really, I mean, obviously we shut down for a while, and there's so many stories like that where it's like everyone was up for these roles and everything was like gonna happen, and then everything shut down and it's like, wait, now what? But that's amazing.
Seriously.
So what was it like to play Sarah Paulson's daughter? Because Sarah Paulson to me is one of the best
legend
actresses. Well, and
yes.
Her career in itself is something really to aspire to, because she's mm-hmm. worked her whole life, but she really didn't find mm-hmm. that stardom success until her mm-hmm. like late 30s, I think it was, or mm-hmm. mid 30s, late mm-hmm. 30s. And I think that's really special, because it allowed her to really like perfect her craft before the world knew her.
Yes. And that is so, so admirable. And she's worked so hard. And mm-hmm. that is, I mean, like you said, that is it just so I want to aspire to be that. Mm-hmm. And working with her, she's also producing the show as well. She's one of the producers. And so she was on top of everything. Like it was so cool to witness, because I also want to be a producer. Mm. That's been a dream of mine probably for the last 5 years, in addition to acting. Which is also why I'm going to school. Because I want to have a production company and be a producer and get to call the shots and be a part of, you know, making stories that need to be told happen.
Right.
And so it was amazing to watch her, just how her attention to detail in every part of the scene. She was on top of the script. She has so many lines. I mean, it was crazy, and she just knew them and came prepared for everything and had an eye for everything. And I mean, it was a masterclass in everything, not just acting, but in how to, you know, work a set and be paying such close attention to every detail of the story. And it was incredible. It was really incredible.
That's amazing. I adore her so much. I think she's so freaking good. I love her.
and everything that she did was just so just juicy. And I wanted to pull everything that I possibly could from watching her. And what was so cool now is, okay, so I saw her do all of her beautiful work in person, and all of the idiosyncrasies that she gave to Linda now translated on screen. Mm. And so watching it back and just seeing how well it looks and how good it looks, it's so cool.
She's a master. She really is.
She is. Oh, yeah, totally.
So on the show, we like to share audition stories, either ones that have gone awry, funny happenings, you know, ones that got away. Is there a story or stories that you would like to share with the listeners?
I have so many. I have endless. It's really hard for me to pick just one, but I have a good one. So
okay.
It was, when I first moved here, you know, learning how a lot of casting directors, you know, are in a room, and sometimes they're either just super blunt. Sometimes, you know, they'll feel a little bit, it'll be a little bit more interested. Mm-hmm. But, you know, especially for those first calls, they're just going through so many people, and, you know, so they're just doing their job, and I really appreciate them, but, you know, you never know how they might be in person. And so I had had a couple experiences with some casting directors that just were, you know, a little bit, it didn't feel like I made a personal connection with them.
Yeah.
And especially I was just starting out, so I was very green. Mm-hmm. And didn't know a lot, didn't know about how to control my nerves in a room. And I think that really, there was this, I had to please, you know what I mean? And which really, at the end of the day, kind of does you a disservice, because you don't have to please anyone. Just show up, be yourself. And, you know, it's almost this, listen, I got what you need. And, you know, if you want it, great. If you don't, all right, that's great. I'll move, like,
yeah,
I'll go do something else. Like, awesome. And so I had a couple experiences where I just was trying too hard, and the casting directors just were feeling that. And so I didn't feel like I made a connection. And so I went into this one audition, and from the get-go, the casting director was just so nice to me. Mm. And it was like, oh my gosh, wow, this, like, you really feel invested in what I'm doing. Thank you. And it was for this little short film, and it was the weird. So I grew up in church my whole life, just backstory. So, you know, greeting people and making people feel comfortable is just something that I've done my whole life, working in the lobby, opening up doors for everybody, like, hey, welcome to church. My name's Emma. So nice to meet you. Like, what's your name? How are you today? Let me introduce you to this person over here. Like, there's just, you know, I'm just excited to see people. Mm-hmm. And so as she's like just being so nice to me, it was like all of a sudden this church side of me came out and we were saying goodbye, and I completely forgot her name, but for some reason in my brain it felt like it was the right time to ask her what her name was, which you just don't do. Like, that's a casting director, you don't ask them for their name. And I went up and I hugged her, and I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. And remind me of your name again. And she just froze and just stared at me and was like, and she like told me her name. And I walked out of there just so embarrassed. Like, I cannot believe I just hugged the casting director and asked her to remind me of her name. And it just was, but you know, like, at the end of the day, those are the fun things that you can look back on and laugh at. And, yep, you know, 'cause like, nobody's perfect. We're all just out here trying to figure it out. And it was, I learned a lot from it. I learned, note to self, always remember the casting director's, yes, name, and don't always ask them for their name.
Never.
And don't hug them unless they come up and hug you. Like, yes. I don't know. It just was, it was a whole mixture of things. And oh, so that was one of my most memorable ones. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. That was, remind me of your name again.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. And remind me of your name again.
Oh,
it was so,
wow,
cringy. Yeah, it was bad.
That is,
was really,
that's
bad.
Cringe central. Like, that is,
I know,
that's tough to hear.
Yeah, I didn't get a call back for that.
No,
let's just say,
no,
that much. I didn't get a call back.
I would not expect that to happen.
No.
But hey, going back to what you were saying earlier, though, about how, like, every casting directing office is different, and
yeah,
are different, and the
different
way they work is different. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm, something that I always tell young actors to do is to create a Google sheet, now that we have those, and write those notes,
yeah,
down. If you make a special,
yeah,
connection with somebody, write that note down so that you know next time,
yeah,
you go in, oh, I made this connection with them, and
yeah,
that should be what I
totally
lead with. Because it really, mm-hmm, is a job interview. You know, I feel,
yeah,
like auditions,
totally,
you start to think of them as like, I need to prove myself. I need to prove that I'm, mm-hmm, good. I need to prove that I need,
yeah,
I'm here to do this. Whereas really,
yeah,
it's like, no, let me just put my time into
do
this,
my thing,
do my work, figure out my character, do my backstory, mm-hmm. go in, mm-hmm. do my interview, and leave. And that's what it should mm-hmm. be.
Mm-hmm. And that's the big journey that I came on.
Yeah.
And have been on still.
Yeah.
You know,
it takes a long time. I still struggle with it every once in a while.
It's not easy. Like auditioning is not, it's not easy because it can be intimidating. And so it is, it's finding that balance of being like, no, okay, hold on. Remember, I love acting. Like, I love this.
PSA, I like doing this.
PSA, I like to do this. So I'm going to do it and I'm going to create the character. I'm going to find what I think makes this person relatable, mm-hmm. find the humanity, figure out, you know, if there's speech involved, if it's a different time period. Like, that's just why I love it, because you get to live a completely different life. It's you get to transport yourself and use your imagination and daydream and live in a completely different time period, world, century, space, whatever it might be. Like, it just, it's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
And so it's just being like, okay, this is what I prepared. Mm-hmm. This is what I did. I'm going to go in there. I don't have to please anybody. All I have to please is
yourself, really.
Because sometimes, sometimes, you know, we're not always satisfied with it.
So sometimes you you leave and you're like, well, that sucked. Moving on.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. You just, it's like, I did it. And now we just are going to forget about it. And if something happens, fantastic. And if it doesn't, you know what? I'm not going to be discouraged, because then, like, that just wasn't the door for me to walk through.
Exactly. You know? Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm so excited to see what you do next. How can people follow you on social media so that they can keep up with everything?
Yeah, I am on Instagram. It's just my name, Emma Maloof. I have a TikTok. I don't really use it. So you can follow me on there, but you're not going to see too much content. But definitely Instagram. Instagram is the place to go. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Emma, for sharing this time with me.
Thank you so much.
And
yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you. I love your podcast. Like, really, I just so enjoy listening to you. And it was an honor to come on here. So really, thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a beautiful day. I can't wait to see you in whatever you star in next.
Yes, thank you so much. Awesome.
Thanks again to Emma for coming on the show. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to it right now. Leave us some love, some reviews, some ratings, some stars, whatever it is that you're seeing on that side of the screen. And tune in next week. I have a great guest as usual. Bo Yokley is going to be on. And until then, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before, because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.